Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time. Once again, I greet you, the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Hey, I want to tell you something, friend. Look, He came to save you. He can save you, and He will save you if you'll call on Him. The Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, according to the book of Luke, chapter 19 and 10. And the message today is going to be a message about salvation. So if you woke up this morning on your way to a Christless eternity, on your way to a devil's hell, friend, listen. If you recognize that you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and by faith, receive Christ as your Savior. Hey, you know what? You could be destined for heaven before nightfall. Wouldn't that be amazing? You could have the peace of God in your heart. You could have the assurance of heaven, friend, in your soul. Listen, friend, you could become a new creature in Christ, and God can do all of that and more for you. Well, thank you for tuning in today. Debbie and I are excited about the message and the song that the Lord has stirred our heart to, and I pray our time together will be a blessing to you. And listen, friend, let me tell it to you again. Not only does Jesus want to save you, He can save you, and He will save you if you'll simply put your trust in Him. Debbie's got a song she's going to do. It's a beautiful song. It's a true song. The title of it is Saved by His Grace. After she gets done with that, I'll meet you in the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Read about 4 verses of Scripture. Share the message God has laid on my heart. Enjoy.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I believe. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame. That's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness. No longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. I have been saved by faith.
To that right there, friend. In fact, that's the only way you can be saved. The only way you or I or anyone else can be saved is by grace through faith, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. And how wonderful that is. You know what that does? That puts us all on the same level. He said in the book of Romans 3:23, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. A little earlier in that chapter, he said, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now listen, I'm just simply quoting the Word of God, and we're living in a day when people, listen, they don't believe that they're sinners, and a lot of people don't believe there's anything called sin. But let me tell you something, friend. Jesus left the portals of glory some time ago and laid down His robes of glory, entered into the stream of humanity, lived among men for 33 and a half years, died substitutionally for all men, was buried, and on the third and appointed morning He came out from among the dead so you and I, sir, ma'am, could be justified, so that we could be saved, so that we could be delivered from sin, the power of it, the presence of it, and listen, the penalty of it. And that's what we're going to preach about today. We're going to talk about the truth about salvation. In the book of Matthew chapter 1, we find that Joseph was contemplating the problem that he had with Mary. He had learned that she was pregnant and was going to have a child. And he knew. He knew that he and his espoused wife did not know each other intimately. He knew, as far as he could understand, that she was a virgin. He couldn't figure it out. He was troubled. He was perplexed, but the Bible says, and while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord, in verse 20 of chapter 1 of Matthew, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Listen to what this says. Here's my text verse. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now get this, for he shall save his people from their sins. I want to talk to you today, just for a little while, because I've only got a little while, about the truth about salvation. The truth about salvation. Now, you know what? It's an exciting time we're living in. It's a great time. I mean, to tell you, in many ways, it's the greatest time on planet Earth that the world has ever known. But I'll tell you this too. Friend, we're living in perilous times. I mean, it's dark times. I mean, look at what's going on in the world. Look at the situation across the globe, friend, with what's going on with Israel and Hamas. What's going on in our nation, in the United States of America. We're at war. It's a spiritual war. We're at war with ourselves in many, many ways. But look at what's going on, friend, in the churches. The places where the gospel ought to be preached, the truths from the Word of God ought to be proclaimed, where what John preached, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus preached the same thing, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Listen, we don't find too many preachers preaching against sin, preaching salvation by grace through faith, preaching, friend, that when you get saved, that there must be a change in your life or you must not have been saved. But friend, I'll tell you, that's what I'm going to preach today. There's a lot of people won't even touch sin from the pulpit. They even say that man knows that he's a sinner. No, he doesn't. No, he does not, friend. And that's why God called men. That's why God chose men, putting them into the ministry, was to proclaim of the truth to lost mankind that men are sinners in need of a Savior. So I'm going to talk to you about the truth of salvation. Do you know what salvation means? Salvation means a full and free divine deliverance from sin, its penalty, its power, and its presence. That's a pretty good definition, is it not? And you know what? That's what Jesus came to be. He came to be a Savior. He came to be a deliverer. He came, listen now to what I'm going to say, and I'm going to say it, friend, as clearly as I can, just as Matthew records it in the book of Matthew 1 and 21. Jesus came to save people from their sins, not in their sin. You know what that means? That means, listen, friend, the word from means apo. It means away from. It refers to a cessation from and a separation from. And what he's talking about there is sin. Now you say, preacher, I'm not a bad sinner. Well, you may not be, but you're a sinner. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I quoted it earlier, Romans 3:23. Maybe I'll quote it another time or two during this message. But let me tell you something. When Adam and Eve sinned, when they transgressed, when they went beyond the boundaries of God's command, when they went beyond what God said you can and cannot do, listen, they fell. They fell. And they became sinners. And every since, every boy and every girl that every mother and father have produced in this world have been born sinners, needing to be saved by the grace of God. Hey, friend, listen. We are sinners by birth, and we are sinners by choice. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, there comes a time in everyone's life as they grow and mature, there comes a time when they must decide what they will choose, either righteousness or unrighteousness, to obey God or disobey God, to walk after the course of this world, the spirit of this age, or be obedient to the truths of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, friend, listen, we all need a Savior because we're all sinners, and God in His great grace, God in His great love, God in His great mercy, God in His great wisdom, God in His great ability. Do you know what He did? He sent His Son into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Now again, there's not too many preachers preaching this message. Oh, there are some preaching it greater than I am, more clearly than I am, more powerfully than I am, more plainly than I am. But let me tell you something, friend. We all need to preach repentance. We all need to preach salvation by grace through faith. You say, what is repentance, preacher? Well, it's a part of salvation. So is faith. Listen, you can't have one. You can't have true faith without it producing repentance. And you cannot have repentance, friend, without having faith. You know what repentance is? Repentance means to have a change of mind. It means to have a change of mind, listen, about sin. And it, you know what it does? When we have a change of mind about our sin, we begin to see sin from God's perspective. And you know what that is? That means to confess. We come to the point when we get to the place that we see sin, our sin, not somebody else's sin, but my sin, how I have, as a sinner, I've got to make it personal. When I begin to see my sin from the perspective that God sees my sin, you know what it moves me to do? It'll move me, friend, listen, to want to repent. I'll have a change of mind about it. And that change of mind, if it is a true repentance, if it is a repentance, friend, and not a remorse, not just simply having remorse about some action that I have done, some decision that I have made. Do you know what it'll do? It'll produce a change of living. And here's the problem today. We have many people, far too many people, that make a profession of faith, but do not have a possession of faith. They profess something. They claim that they have been saved by grace through faith, but their life has no evidence of that profession that they make. So look, let me tell you something. According to the book of Acts, chapter 20 and 21, listen to what the Word of God says. And this is a message that Paul preached to the elders of Ephesus. He said, now here's what I was called to do. He said, I kept back nothing from you that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. That's verse 20 of chapter 20 of Acts. Verse 21 says, testifying to the Jew and also to the Greek. Now listen, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance, friend, is a fundamental of salvation. It is a fundamental part of the new birth, of becoming a new creature, of being delivered from sin, of being translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life. And you know what it is? I've already told you. It is a change of mind. It is a change of mind that produces a change of heart to where we want to move away from sin towards God. The second part of that verse where he said that it is repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ, here it is. Repentance is bound up in faith. Look, without faith, there can be no repentance. But if there is true repentance, there is some measure of faith. No one can be saved or repent without faith. No one can repent without that. But on the other hand, there can be no saving faith without true repentance. You say, well, I believe, preacher. Well, you know what? If you believe the way the Word of God describes believing, then you'll repent of your sin. You'll move away from sinning and you'll start living a life that's pleasing to Jesus, the one that came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now look, the truth about salvation, it takes repentance and faith both. And repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of heart that results in a change of living, a change of lifestyle. Listen, you can't truly be saved if you continue doing the things after you profess that you've been saved that you were doing before you got saved. The Bible tells us that we are to touch not, to taste not, and to handle not. The Bible said, and such were some of you. And I could turn there and read that to you out of the book of 2 Corinthians 6 and 9 and following. But look, friend, there's been a change in me. There's no doubt I'm going to leave this world with a shout. But true salvation involves true repentance. In fact, there are three things that go along with repentance. Number one, now listen now, and I'll expound on them a little bit because I've got time. Number one, there must be a genuine sorrow about sin. Number two, there must be a confession of our sin. And number three, listen now, everybody listen and say amen. There must be a forsaking of sin. Now look, I want to tell you something. For repentance and salvation to be real, for it to be true, for it to be biblically correct, for it to change you for eternity, there must be genuine sorry for your sin. There must be genuine sorrow for your sin. There must be confession of your sin. And there must be a forsaking of your sin. Let's be honest, friend. In salvation, we're to become new creatures in Christ. Let me tell it to you again. So, if you make some kind of profession, but you continue to live your life in sin, if it doesn't bring about a change in your heart, in your desires, in your longings, in your want, in your look, in your outlook, listen, friend, you've not been saved. You have simply not been saved. Now look, let me tell you this. When you first get saved, you won't be perfect. You'll still sin on occasion, but you will not have a lifestyle of sin. If you sin continually, the Word of God says you've not been saved. Now, what does it mean to have genuine sorrow? I don't have time to read Psalm 51, but I wish I had. May I encourage you to turn to that great penitential psalm. It's called that psalm where David listened after that he had sinned with Bathsheba as he sinned and what he did to get him to that place of sinning. Listen, listen, friend. Read this psalm. Please read it from the beginning to the end. And David, you know what he did? In sorrow came to God and said, "Have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my sins, my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sins." Listen, there has to be a sorrow. There has to be, as he said over here in verse, where is it at, 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." There must be a genuine sorrow towards God because of sin. And there must be a confession of sin. That's what David was doing in these first three verses. He was confessing. But he goes on. He said, "Against thee and thee only," in verse 22, or in verse 4, "have I sinned and done these things." Hey, but he said, "Look, let me be honest. I did what I did because I am what I am." He said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me." He wasn't using that to get an excuse. He just said, "God, let me be honest. I sin because I am a sinner." 1 John 1:9 says this. He said, "Look, God is faithful and just to forgive us all sins when we confess and forsake our sin." We've got to be honest with God. We've got to be bare bones, honest with God, and go to Him with a true heart, a broken heart, a broken spirit, and say, "God, I have sinned, and this is what it was." We've got to be genuine in our sorrow about sin. And we have got to be genuine, listen, in our confession of sin. We've got to say, "More than I messed up," or, "God, more than I made a mistake." We've got to say, "I've sinned." And then finally, there must be a forsaking of our sins after we repent. Now listen, once you repent and get saved, you'll begin to grow in grace and in knowledge. And in 5 or 10 years down the road, you'll look back on things that you used to do, that you no longer do, that almost amuse you. But we've got to start at day one with God's plan, and we begin to move away from sin immediately. Will we get it all right the first day? No, we probably won't. But I'll tell you what, friend, there is to be a progression of doing righteous things and not unrighteous. If you go to the book of Romans chapter 6 and you begin to read how to be successful at this, to simply yield the members of your body to righteousness now that you're saved, whereas you used to yield them to sinfulness and ungodliness. Listen to what John told those that came to be baptized of him in the Jordan as the forerunner of Christ, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." You know what that means? John said, listen, prove the change of your heart by the things that you do. There must be a forsaking of sin. I say it once, I say it again. You cannot profess that you've been saved by the grace of God, declare that you're a new creature in Christ, if you don't do new things. He said in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, "If or since any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We've got to be honest, friend. In salvation, we're to become new creatures in Christ. So let me say it again. I know I'm repeating, and I'm doing so unapologetically with a reason, because people today think sinning is no big deal, that we can get saved and make the grace of God something like lasciviousness. But after we profess Christ, listen, if we claim to be in Christ and there's been no change in our living, in our life, or in our lifestyle, there's been no change in our heart, and all that we have is an empty profession and no possession of Christ. Are you saved? The only way you can be saved is by grace through faith. If you'll come to Jesus today claiming that you're a sinner, being honest, admitting that you're a sinner needing to be saved by grace, if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And if you are, you'll prove it by the life you live. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.